Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, third hour, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School, brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients and Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andermatt slash Old Cheney, and 168th and Maple up there in the O. A lot going on. Obviously, we had a really good, hopefully you guys will be able to go back and see it, Black Shirt Breakdown, the Whiteboard Wednesday. That was actually brought back some memories, but then also, you know, good teaching moments for, you know, down there in Chapel Hill. I'm sure they're fixing it as we speak, but we hadn't really dove into a lot of Husker talk. Obviously, the Cincinnati game, you know, considering it was last Thursday, almost a week ago, tomorrow has been sliced and diced and dissected. And you know, obviously, we had a little bit of audio yesterday, and hopefully by Wednesday, people are officially on to Akron. And what that means on to Akron is, one, obviously, you know, Cincinnati's in the back of your mind with the W, and whatever needs to be worked on, you know, you want, you know, your team to work on it. But from a fan's perspective, we want you at the text line to text in. What would you guys like to see besides the obvious? Obviously, is a 48-0 victory, so forth and so on. From your, hopefully, you guys have learned a little bit over the numerous times that we've talked about the different, you know, real details, the minute details of what, you know, lead to big plays, and the difference between learning how to win and winning, and then obviously going to the next level. What are you guys looking forward to see, or looking forward to see Saturday night at 6:30 when Nebraska takes on Akron at home, to give you the, I guess, the pause to sleep a little bit better, even though you slept pretty well, even though, you know, it was a hard drive back to Kansas City. Sure, people slept well. You know, Austin, I'll go first. I said, you know, probably for me, you know, for Nebraska, I mean, obviously winning and all this stuff is, you know, that's a guarantee. You know, I just think that I just want them to, you know, just say, okay, I can see the, you know, a jump from week one to week two. And that's in all three phases. You know, I did, you know, special teams, I thought, you know, did a good job. I mean, anytime you hit a 51-yard field goal, three punts inside the 10, I think, or at least two for sure. Not a lot of yards in coverage, you know, did pretty decent in, you know, other stuff. Defensively, obviously, you probably just want to clean up, you know, some things, but I felt like on the back end, you were pretty good and really played like some senior-led, you know, defensive back groups. And offensively, you know, you had, you know, probably left a little meat on your bone. And so what you want to see them just, you know, take a big jump from week one to week two, in all three phases, and obviously with the victory, and then obviously a pretty sizable victory in hand.
Yeah. Well, I'll just go to the text line, right? Yeah. I think there's a lot of plus stuff there already. So Brad says, no shot Nebraska covers. 34.5-point favorites right now. So
what do you think?
I'm just going to get to that. Let's say the line sticks at 34.5. What if Nebraska wins 34-0 and they score a touchdown in all four quarters? And they hold Akron beneath 300 total yards, just like they did Cincinnati. Going to be pretty hard to complain about that performance. I mean, yes, it's been far too long since Nebraska's rolled up 70 on someone. I think it was Idaho or Idaho State a while ago. They got 70, and we're all expecting fireworks from the Dana Holgorsen offense. That would be fantastic if Nebraska were to flex that muscle, prove that they got it in them, no matter the caliber of opponent. But Nebraska can play a good, clean, solid 34-3, 37-3, whatever, Brad, since, yes, the last time Nebraska shut someone out was the Holiday Bowl, the Nebraska's Back and We're Here to Stay game against Arizona. But, so, yes, it's been a while since Nebraska's shut someone out. It's been a while since Nebraska's rolled up 70, and both of those would be fantastic. But if fans are really going to be on here complaining that Nebraska, oh, they didn't cover the spread, they didn't win by enough, and it's 37-3 or 34-0, and Nebraska feels in control, they score on their first drive, maybe they score on their second drive before they punt, you know, they put up 14 points, they're up 14-0 after the first quarter. Again, purely hypothetical, but they put it in cruise control essentially and keep extending the lead. Good. Sure, yeah. Maybe they didn't cover the spread. Yes, it's a big spread, bigger than, you know, Husker fans are probably used to seeing in Nebraska's favor. But that's not the point. The point is, how good do you look? And can you look that good consistently for four quarters against a team that shouldn't put up much resistance in the way of you looking good for four quarters?
Yeah, I think that Nebraska needs to blow these cats, move out of the water.
And
I
these
think
kangaroos.
It, yeah. Yeah, whatever. The zips. They need, but they need to blow these dudes out. And the reason why I say that, it would be good, even if it's 35-38-0, 38-3, or 41-10
with the late touchdown like UTEP.
Because most likely they have scored consistently, and they've had other guys besides Dylan Raiola, Emmett, and all the starters play. Mm-hmm. So that lets you know that the depth is starting to develop. Mm-hmm. You know, versus where you looked at the Wyoming game, I think it was 10-0. You know, that was the starters the whole game. So, you know, you really can see some separation, or Nebraska trying to inch towards, you know, being a team that's in the consideration for, you know, top 30, 35, and then obviously top 20 if you can really, you know, put a whooping on these guys.
Derek and Akar, I want to see the twos and threes get meaningful snaps. Special teams continue to improve. Rosebud from Elmwood, a relentless defensive front pursuit on the ball and pressure in the backfield. No sacks for Nebraska against Brendan Sorsby. Yeah, just get on the board with sacks. You know, if this is a defensive line, Jay, that's young, that's still improving, it working together, good way to, you know, quell some of those concerns is to get in the backfield. Be active, you know, take it personal that people are questioning your performance. Go out and be the reason that Nebraska shuts down Akron.
Yeah, I think a D-line, you just want to try to punish this guy. You know, and obviously I think that they have a better chance to get sacks in bunches. You know, it's kind of like when defenses get interceptions, they come in bunches. Because, you know, just like getting interceptions, that means the defensive line is playing well. Getting sacks, that means the second and third level are executing at a high level. And that's what you want to do. Well, if you start covering people down and the quarterback's sitting back there too comfortable, then you need to, you know, be a little bit concerned. And obviously a running quarterback and the way he was able to Sorsby, that means that, you know, manipulate the defense and make some big time runs, obviously is an eyesore, but this quarterback doesn't run. More importantly, when you get a chance to get these guys second and long, third and long, where it's obviously passing downs, you know, you got to get home. One also thing I want to warn Husker fans, you will get their best shot Saturday night. You will get their best offensive output because Joe Moorhead is an offensive coach. He will be working diligently to scheme up some things and really harp on the execution. Because if you go back and look at the Wyoming game that they played last week, they had plenty of opportunities to extend drives and then obviously plenty of opportunities to score. So they feel like they just got to get better at some of the small things that will lead to big things. So if you think that Akron's going to come in here and just lay down, you'll be sadly mistaken. I still think Nebraska will beat them. I do think Nebraska will cover, even though I'm not a gambler. I definitely think they can win by 35 points. I definitely think it's an opportunity for them to make a huge, have a huge day, special teams wise, and all three phases or all four, you know, core special teams groups, which I think could lead to some more easier scoring opportunities.
Does Nebraska need to blow Akron out, or would it be nice for Nebraska to blow Akron out?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think they need to do it just because, you know, they have the ability to. So it's kind of like the maturity of like, hey, let's go out there and handle business like we know we can and should, right? Because we are a better team than them. So they need to do it, you know, for the more mental. And then the other one is just, you know, you could have the starters in there and be up 28-31-0 and put the rotational guys in there, second and third team, sometimes fourth. And if you're up 31-0 and you end up winning 38-10, are you really, you know, saying that Nebraska didn't handle their business, where you have the starters after three quarters, 31 points, Akron hadn't done tiddly poo defensively. You put the backups in or whatever you want to call them. then all of a sudden now you only have a 21 point victory. You can't really hang your hat on that. These next 2 weeks are huge, because not only do you need to go out and perform well at home before the Michigan game, but also you got to show display the maturity of dealing with success, which is the win in Kansas City. Had some time off, so you really got like double the pats on the back, and I call it getting your belly rubbed, right? And then now you got to go perform Saturday night, which the atmosphere should be crazy because it's a night game. And you come back against Houston Christian at 11:30 or 11, mm-hmm. which is an early game. So you have to show the maturity of being able to play early, right?
Well, 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks in a row, you'll play it four different times.
Right.
8, 6:30, 11, and 2:30.
Right. So you got to answer the bell. So anywhere, anytime, any place, that's got to be your mantra and your mindset. That right there is as important as the scoreboard. You start looking at the scoreboard and start judging off of that, you know, you're really losing yourself and really what's most important.
And I'm sure plenty of coaches have said this. A couple of my coaches always said, play to a standard, not a scoreboard.
Yep.
You know, if you play to your standard, the scoreboard more than likely will take care of itself to whatever degree. Want to go after this, this text from Phil. This team won't cover because they don't know how to cover a spread. It's been far too long since this team has won decisively. And what I mean by that is putting their foot on the throat of their opponents. This whole team, from players to coaches, do not know what it is to close out a game in a decisive fashion. Let me take you back to UTEP last year, when Nebraska and UTEP were tied at 7 after the first quarter. Nebraska goes on a 33-0 run to end the game, including a 23-point second quarter. Pretty decisive to me, and I can hear the text coming in already. Well, that's UTEP. They weren't very good. I mean, that's a mid-major program. That's group of five. Does that really count? To which I would say, you have a point. Yes, Nebraska does need to start doing that to Power Four teams sooner than later. And that, to me, Jay, is why I think it's so important for Nebraska to make the margin as big as it can against Akron and Houston Christian, and then learn the right lesson from it. Let's say Nebraska, we had someone here say it needs to be like 59-7. Let's say Nebraska puts up back-to-back 59-7 wins. Again, purely hypothetical, not putting any money on that or anything. Hypothetically, Nebraska goes 59-7 over Akron, 59-7 over Houston Christian. The easy thing to do is say, oh yeah, we're good, we're fine, everything's clicking, everything's rolling, Michigan doesn't know what's going to hit it. What this team and program needs is a decisive win like that to spark some of that confidence. Because think about all the questions we're asking. Oh, do they have it in them? Oh, is Dana really enough? Oh yeah, Dylan's a highly rated recruit, but they're still, you know, not averaging more than 23 points a game with him in control. What's the point? You know, it's not going to be easy when Michigan comes to town. But if this team can win a couple games big, feel good about its process offensively, make enough big plays to where they're feeling, number one, good about themselves, number two, confident in their abilities, and number three, focused enough to know that it's not going to be this easy against Michigan, but I know that we have this in us and we can score with the best of them. Mm. That's got to be on the table for this team, because yes, there is a next step for them to take. You take that step first and foremost against a team like Akron when you have the opportunity, and then parlay that into quote unquote bigger name opponents.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got a point there, and you're definitely right, but I'm going to add on to it and flip another question to the text line. Okay, so let's just say you win 59-7, but you play the same way you did against Cincinnati. Say you do it for 2 weeks in a row, 59-7, 59-7, and you become so punch drunk on the score versus, right, you win, let's just say 41-10, 31-10 the next 2 weeks. But you execute better, you block better, you really essentially just say you run the same plays you ran against Cincinnati, but
crisper, cleaner, crisper, better.
You do a really good job of breaking tackles, yards after catch, and you're better at you know, turning some of Emmitt's runs, you know, from a 3 yard gain to a 6 or 7 yard gain. And maybe you have less plays, but your efficiency is way up. Which one do you want? I'll take the latter. Because
the standard, not the scoreboard.
Because I'll be more ready to play against Michigan, because I know my technique, my mindset, my execution, and efficiency are trump tight. Versus, say, like you just, you know, you're playing against, you know, Akron comes out and they're just not really that good. And you, because here's why I say this. competition matters, execution is more important. I remember talking to, I think, Scott Frost one time, and he was talking about playing in that league when they, you know, had the really, you know, really good season, you know, undefeated season. He's like, it was crazy. He said they were playing South Florida one time. They had a 60, 70 yard touchdown. He's like, we had six busts on offense. He's like, that's how bad they were. So it's hard to, you know, so I guess what I'm saying is you want to make sure you keep their attention. You keep being able to push them to do better at the little things that you can make the little things look spectacular. And then you let the results be the results, because the results will be actually better when you do it the right way, because that will last.
Mm-hmm. Phil chimes in, 23 points in the second quarter against UTEP, and then what? They just take their foot off the gas every time. I think that's the coach's way just to get conservative and not actually beat a team like they should. Number one, when you're up 30-7 at halftime over UTEP, you don't have to necessarily get exotic. You know, I would guess that UTEP starters last year were probably around Nebraska's backups in a lot of ways, right? Yeah. Now, they had a couple all-conference guys there. And, you know, I'm not saying, I'll move on to the point. Like Matt Rhule said, he expects every game to be 17-16. Nebraska is not going to score on every drive. Name me a team that scores on every drive against an opponent. It doesn't happen. You know, Nebraska is not going to execute at 100%. Nebraska is not going to score 100% of all the points available to it.
Yeah.
Against a team like Akron, hypothetically, again, if Nebraska is where we think they should be at halftime, they should get boring. They should get bland. They should get vanilla. And Nebraska is not so overwhelmingly physically talented that they'll be able to score on every play that's halfback draw, halfback dive up the middle.
Yeah,
they're not that good. I mean, even if Akron is pretty bad, we think, Nebraska's not that good to just physically take over and dominate that game like Husker fans want. So, yes, it should be easier, but Nebraska still has plenty to prove. Let's say they do get down to the twos, into the threes. Guys, in their first real extended action, if you get points from your backups and you're up, you know, 35-7, 35-3, whatever, that's gravy.
Yeah.
Because your starters accomplished what they needed to. They go into the next week feeling good. And then it's just an open practice for those other guys.
Yeah. I mean, you want to, you know, do what you have to do. And sure. And that's where I think people let their expectations, which are led by emotion, get into what they're saying. I prefer the standard. The standard will lead to many, many more realistic and tangible blowouts than expectations based on. Because, you know, and this is nothing wrong with having expectations and standards, and there's a thin line between either one of them. So they kind of mean the same, is that, like I said, you get punch drunk by the score and trying to compare yourself to how Wyoming beat them or another team that you view that you're equal as, what they do against lower level opponents. You can look at what Indiana did last year, blah, blah, blah. And you can get caught up in all that stuff, and you have forgot about what school you're cheering for, what school you're playing at, or whatever school you're talking about. So, you know, I think they're both in the same. They got to go out there and earn it. This isn't a game where you just, you know, I want to see really, more importantly, is just show it up with the mentality of, we've dealt with some success. We won, which is my version of success. We had a lot of work to do and clean up, you know, during the week, and then now I'm going to show you that we've taken, you know, realistic and tangible steps to go do so.
Mm-hmm.
And the points will come.
You play to the standard. If you do the right thing, time after time.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing that you're worried about how many points Nebraska is going to score. I think it's also a little bit getting over your skis, is because you're trying to go from 0 to 100, and there is a process to it. So just respect the process. It starts where you're at, and then you got to keep, you know, improving on it each week. If you walk away from a game, I always say this, Nebraska's fan base, or people that talk about the Nebraska, in a lot of ways, rightfully so, based on what's happened in the past, generally get in there. As my analogy is, you get in your car, you drive all the way down here to downtown. You got a 6:30 PM movie that you're going to, and you've already, before the movie started, you've already written your Rotten Tomatoes review of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's already there. Now, it is hard to forget, you know, some of the losses in the past, or, you know, who didn't do a good job, or, you know, what other team. I get it. It is natural, right? You fight it all the time, especially in basketball. You know, that's all people do. And, you know, when baseball parents do too. They look on Game Changer. They look on Turning Machine. Oh, well, you know, we played them. We played this team. You know, we beat that team by team, and they're by 10, and then they beat the team that we're going to play in two games by 20, so that's the game off. Well, then next thing you know, you in a dogfight coming down the stretch in a three-possession game in basketball, and they're in the double bonus. So now you're really back against the wall versus you just say, okay, I'm playing so-and-so at this time. I'm going to show up and do what we got to do, and we're going to do it even better than we did the week before. We know we're going to win, and it's just a matter of how we're going to win. That's the change in mentality. And it's hard to get to because of the amount of BS that's there. That's because
it's the easy thing to do is say if Nebraska doesn't win by 40, not
and that's
good
why
enough.
You got your boy Brad. But my man Brad said, I've seen this movie 100 times. True. But Brad, it's like, we're going to keep watching it. I keep watching Star Wars. I've seen it 100 times. It gets better and better.
Insightful, dude. I really like the idea of the early first game and having the extra couple practice days between week one and two. Hope to see improvement everywhere. 0-8-7-4. I would rather have a 21-point lead in for Akron not to score than cover the spread. John wants to see fewer than 100 yards rushing allowed. That's like, pretty difficult to do, but that's a goal.
Look, man, this is all hands on deck. Listen, if I'm a guy that's not starting, y'all better go play this good this week. I got my family coming. You better go play. I need to get in the game. Because, you know, look, everybody's got to get in where they fit in. This is we have to do well.
I'll play wingman where you're on the field.
We all get paid. We all getting paid. I need to go earn my paycheck. This is equivalent of Wednesdays when I played and I was a red shirt and they had that 20 play scrimmage. It's on. You guys go do your practice. Once practice is over, this is a bloodbath. We are going to.
Now it's the real time.
This is the real game. We are going to annihilate each other, and I got to play good. So there was a few practices that I just said I let Quinn Holgrave get some reps, and I was like, I got to save myself. No, they need to go out there and play. I think you have to really hyper-focus this week and really show your competitive nature to go out there and do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing.
Kip says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but let's just be Iowa on caffeine the next two games, then go from there.
Hey, you don't want to be Iowa the next game. They in for a dogfight here in a few days.
There was an interesting article on The Athletic. Who would you rather be right now? Iowa in the Big Ten or Iowa State in the Big 12? Iowa's got all the money, and you just got to finish fourth in the conference, essentially, to get in. Versus Iowa State, you have a chance to win the conference every year, but if you don't, you're probably out.
I think it's easier for the Big 12 now, considering how they've been playing. You don't necessarily have to win it. You got to be at least in the championship game. But I think the SEC is going down.
Funny how that happens when everyone can start paying players.
Down. You ever see that guy when Buffalo was about to play Dallas Cowboys? Talking about they're going down, baby? Well, Dallas Cowboys dug up in Buffalo. But I just think... I'd probably rather be Iowa State. I think they strike them out of enough fear in the opposing teams, knowing that every year in and year out, they're going to be competitive. Iowa, it's kind of with the four teams that come in, you're not better than Washington. You probably are, but are you really? Definitely don't have more cachet than USC, and definitely not on the Oregon's level. So now you go down a couple more notches, and you still don't got a quarterback.
Still. I wonder how much of that was jitters and how much of that was Iowa dragging him down, because you and I both agree. Like, Gronowski's a dude. That's a borderline NFL guy. And he looked that bad.
Yeah. Who was he throwing to?
There is that.
The guys that he looked like he was throwing to on the internet, they did not look like they could play at Seacrest Field, a.k.a. Aaron Davis University.
One of their guys, I think it was Vander Zee, I think, is out with a foot injury.
Yeah,
but still.
They don't have any. Against Iowa, we don't even look over here. We're just rolling it, man to man. And we're playing press man all game long.
Beat us.
Yeah.
Dare you.
Yep, and we're just going to mix up everything on defense.
You saying eight in the box, nine in the box?
Yeah, if they have a tight end, one tight end, do they just come out in a regular pro formation with fullback or 11, 12 personnel? We locking up man to man. All game long.
We got numbers. What are you going to do?
We're going to have the smallest play sheet ever in college football history. Cover one. Cover one, tackle him.
You know what I would do
just to throw a little curveball at him?
I would do
cover two, and I would say, you know what, we're going to guard their tight end man-to-man because that's the only dude that probably just confuse him. And tell, like, Javon Wright, you travel with the tight end. You got him, man. Everybody else play cover two.
Cover two, but we're going to roll the safety down into the box, so actually it's cover
one. Yeah. Big Bird says, Euler said he's using his sideline passes. Expect to see his son get some playing time. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Jeremy and Lincoln says that if they get up big, do you bench him and Johnson? Sure. You got to get the other guys ready. Quentin Nizer, you know, they said he got to
play. Back.
He's back.
Fresh Nelson, legs. Nosey.
Yeah. You got to get him in there. Heck, you might even get your boy from Wahoo.
Connor Shoot.
No. Booth.
Oh, Connor Booth. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you can play four games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of pressure on the senior dudes this week. I believe, like, you better play good. You better play good.
You have 45 minutes of game time.
Yeah.
You just
do what you need to do and be done by half. but I've done that a couple of times in basketball. And then all of a sudden, other teams start shooting threes. Like, dang. These dudes been sitting over 8 minutes. So I put them back in the game.
You ride it out.
Yeah. It's the part of growing up, man. I think it's just part. Look, I will say this before we go to break. When Dabo Swinney won his second national title, when they were in non-conference, there was a couple games that were closer than what people liked. And he said at the end of the season, obviously, he's like, look, everybody was giving us grief, but they didn't understand. I was playing a lot of guys to develop the depth. Because he's like, I knew late in the season I need it. And I see one of their backup players end up making a pretty big play in the championship game. So you got to get guys in there. You got to provide depth, but you can't do that unless the guys that are the starters or the main rotational players or players handle their business. And so there's much to be done in the work department. And let's hopefully they've done it. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up, Jay Foreman, Austin Orman, second segment before we turn it over to Bill Michener and Lighthouse. And always enjoy seeing him and all of the stuff that he brings from Lighthouse. Mississippi Mud Dog go through a couple texts. He said we blew out Wisconsin last year.
That to me was probably the most recent example of Nebraska putting a team away because they went score for score with them.
Yeah.
How many times would Nebraska get up, other team scores to get back in the game? Nebraska doesn't have that drive to re-extend the lead. That's a good example. You know, it wasn't perfect, but when Wisconsin answered, Nebraska generally had an answer back, and they always kept them essentially at arm's length.
And they did a little bit of dagger in the heart, and they got over the mental hurdle of Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin came in with probably, I think, two or three of their defensive players hurt. So that showed a little bit of, you know, maturity that you can take advantage of their weakness. Because it is competitive sports. You got to do what you got to do. But also in the back of everybody's mind was, okay, it's Wisconsin. They're coming off of a great moral victory against Oregon. Essentially, they had a chance to win it, a la kind of Nebraska, Ohio State, and really stood toe-to-toe with Oregon. And come down here even with a little bit of guys dinged up and do the total Wisconsin thing of upsetting Nebraska or beating Nebraska at home and then put a ton of pressure on Nebraska to get bowl eligible against Iowa. It didn't work out that way. Obviously, Nebraska beat the brakes off them and then sent Wisconsin spiraling to the point that Minnesota blew them out a week later. So
with bowl eligibility on the line.
Again, so it did the reverse to them. Kind of like how Nebraska volleyball did against Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Penn State did the reverse sweep. They did it back to Kentucky this last weekend. So I just think, look, they just got to – this is a maturity game, maturity season. You can't look to week four. You got to handle week two. That's the most important game is the one that you got in front of you. And you're trying to build the habits and the standards and all the stuff that sounds good. That leads to wins and wins upon wins, no matter who you're playing against. It's because the things that you build upon in these next two games will do as much or maybe more for you than a raucous crowd at 2:30 or 2 o'clock playing Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Michigan's been here before in an environment like that,
yeah,
with a better team and not back down.
Yeah, and sure, and they've been on the national scene, so that's you're not going to intimidate them by it. Now, what I mean by that is the things that you build on this week and the next week and through practices and meetings and how you operate outside of the stadium, meaning you know you still work as diligent, you know, on your diet, hydration, time management, schoolwork, sleep, and all that. That's the discipline. That discipline will lead you or put you in a better position to beat Michigan here, mm-hmm, in, you know, 2.5 short weeks. That's the biggest point, because now, yeah, you're trying to create habits of your doesn't matter who you play. It's a faceless opponent. The most important opponent is us on how we handle our business day in and day out, week in and week out. And you do that, then, you know, it really it puts you in a really good situation against Michigan, because all the questions outside of that you'll be working towards to eliminate those or minimize those, because you've addressed them tangibly, and then you see the results tangibly on Saturdays leading up to the Michigan game, and then obviously later in the season.
You can't change who's on Nebraska's schedule right now. If you're Nebraska, you're not in control of who you face. All you can do is line up and go kick the tail of the dude in front of you. Whether you're on an island as a DB, whether it's in the trenches, whether it's, you know, Dylan manipulating a safety with his eyes, whatever it is, Akron's on the schedule. Houston Christian's on the schedule. I know fans want to see Nebraska, you know, look more impressive against a team like Cincinnati, right? Really put the nail in the coffin, right? Drive the dagger through the heart. But at this point, Nebraska, I think your point, Jay, just has to make sure, like you said, it's fundamentally sound. And even if Akron's athletes aren't the same as Michigan, the only chance Nebraska is going to have against Michigan or some of the higher rated teams on their schedule down the line starts with Cincinnati, now continues into Akron. Do the right thing against those guys. And then it's not going to be any easier against the bigger name teams. But if you can do it against someone, you should be able to do it against pretty much anyone. You have, yeah, a base to build off of. Sure, maybe got to get bigger, faster, stronger. Maybe you'll need to go from 95% correct technique to 99 or 100% correct technique to win the way you need to against Michigan. But you just got to start by taking care of the business in the game in front of you against the guy in front.
You know what's funny is that now that we won the Cincinnati game, everybody was worried about, well, what happens if it's the same old Nebraska, we lose the Cincinnati game. We win the Cincinnati game, everybody's mad.
Well, if it's the same old Nebraska, they're not putting teams away.
Yeah, or how it looks. No, granted, they need to play better, right? Mm-hmm. Coach Rule said that. They got a lot of work to do. You know, so they got to clean up a lot, right? And that's on the players as much as the situation. But now that we've got past that or won the first game, now everybody's up here worried about who we're playing on the schedule, when every year prior, it's like our schedule is so hard. I'm here to give you a little bit of a free advice. This is a earth-shattering opinion statement. Factual, it's evidence, it's facts. Football is hard. It's the hardest sport out there. Mm. Nothing is easy. No schedule is easy. The schedule becomes easier as you do the hard things repeatedly and efficiently.
Correctly,
day in, day out, and you really enjoy the nuances and the work. So there is no easy schedule. There's a favorable schedule when you play people, how many hard games you have back to back, you know, where you play them,
when you play them, their schedule,
situation, and mm-hmm. When's the last time they played a team comparable to you, or they play a really physical team and later in the year and all that stuff. That's their favorable schedule. There's nothing easy in football. There's nothing easy in football. In this day and age, there's nothing easy. It's hard. Football is a hard sport. You got to be hard. You have to be hardened. And if you try to be something other than that, and if somebody's telling you you can be something other than that, they are lying to you. They are lying to you, and then you will lie to yourself, and then you will end up being like those Alabama players, walking around with more talent than their pinky, than majority of people playing football. You know what I'm saying? And then you went out there on national TV and embarrassed yourself. You embarrass yourself when you're laughing after you get your butt kicked. You're embarrassing yourself to the point that you were jogging out there because that's a practice habit. You embarrass yourself that you're getting blown up on the same block that I talked about with UNC when the Florida State tight end rocked that dude, forklifted the dude, then stood over you. That's how you get to there. Not understanding that you have to do the hard, which is in football day in and day out, and make the ultimate sacrifice to play this sport. So Akron should be sitting there or sitting there just understanding you're about to get a beating. And the reason why the beating needs to happen, because I'm already back because all the work I had to do all week.
I got to take it out on someone.
Because I can only imagine. I mean, I'm not down there, but I just go back to when we would play a team like Akron or like Pacific. Those practice that week was horrible. Not horrible. It sucked because I knew we weren't going to play that much. Nothing changed in our preparation.
Still got to put in all that work.
In fact, I think it was probably more physical because he was like, you guys ain't going to get, you know, you're not going to get a lot of plays and you don't really get the playoff because we didn't, you know, we always, a lot of guys played after we got up, you were out and we rotated players as well. So, you know, you weren't getting the payoff on Saturday. Whereas like, I think that drastically changed when Bo was here, he would play his starters deep into the third and fourth quarter against inferior teams. There's nothing wrong with that. That's how they get these guys build stats, and that's how you end up going to the pros. And they were great players. I'm just saying it's drastically different. That's why the depth wasn't there. That's why when somebody got hurt, it was, whoa, what's next? Mm-hmm. Because they weren't able to develop. So it's a catch-22. So now these guys should be thinking like, okay, we're going to inflict some pain on these guys. They might get a little bit longer run to make sure that they're the things that they've been working on is better. So I'd be excited for it. And, you know, ideally everybody plays. It's a win-win situation.
Got a full roster at your disposal now.
Yeah, you got a home game.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think, you know, you could have a million different mindsets. You could be a starter and feel like the obligation to go out there and play really, really well. So the other guys on the scout team and that have really put in a lot of work, they don't get the payoff of playing, at least not yet. Get a chance to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then that mindset, because I got to play well. So that's not changing anything. And it's still for the betterment of the team. It's just you're just kind of massaging it a little different way. It's all mental, man. But I still don't think people understand how hard football is. I don't think people understand how hard it is to put your football pants on, pads on, and helmet and walk out there.
I don't know, Jay. I wear pants to every football game I watch. So,
but
I think
you don't
I get
wear
it.
No pads or a helmet.
Every day. I got a headset. It's close
every
enough,
day.
Right?
Every day. Okay, go out there and run into that window.
Don't mind if I do.
60 times, okay? And then I want you to run from 9th Street to 84th Street, down and back. Take an hour break and come and do the same thing again.
Deal.
But you got to do it for...
Within 3 hours.
Okay, within 3 hours. But let me see. Then you got to do it for 8 months. That's 240 days.
Woo.
I'll give you a couple of times just to, you know, do the arm curls and all that stuff. But
heaven knows I need it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's one of those things that, you know, the brass has got to go. They got to develop. We got to go do what we got to do. And it doesn't matter who we're playing. You do that, man. I'm telling you, all the things that you wish and hope for and you ideally train for will come to fruition. You cannot look at week 4. You have to look at week 2.
Mm-hmm.
The most important week is the most important meetings and all that stuff.
Hard to do, but you got to make it what you do.
Yeah. The solution is easy, mm-hmm. right? We all could say it. It's hard to do. A lot of distractions, a lot of chances to lose focus. So now this is when you got to really focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's going to be heavy, heavy week on leadership and guys that need to step up and play well, and then they got to lead well as well. So, that leads us into our last break. So we're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We'll be right back.
Back to old school with Foreman and Orman on 93.7, The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? We're back. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. Got my man texting in from Lincoln. He said that, try catching 9 innings in baseball, 100-degree heat, or playing 18 holes of golf in your 13 beers deep. Why don't you just be 18 beers deep? That's what, then you get then you do it. But you have to do it for 240 days. I doubt anybody would be able to do it.
I will say catching nine innings, 100 degrees.
Yeah, that's
probably
no joke.
Brutal. And here's the thing: baseball does play 162 times, and catchers do take a legitimate physical beating.
Yeah,
but that's the one position on the field
they get beat up. They get beat up.
So, mad respect to catchers, but that's not everyone.
They get beat up a lot in the play. To be a catcher, it takes a different mindset. It really does. It's I would say I think catchers are generally, you know, probably I would say could be the best managers because they have to manage eight other players and everybody in the clubhouse, locker room, whatever you want to call it.
Catchers and centers.
Yeah, that's what
a lot going on.
Right, that's what I was saying, and they can manage everybody else, their emotions, and then find ways to be the glue and then be very productive. So, anyways, our friends down here at Lincoln Children's Museum. Are you planning a trip to Memorial Stadium for the Husker game? Football games can be fun for the whole family, but sometimes younger children can't sit through a whole game. So what should you do? Lincoln Children's Museum offers game day play dates. That's pretty special. Matter of fact, I know some adults that need to go down there. While the parents enjoy the game inside the stadium, their kids get their own game day experience from our friends at Lincoln Children's Museum. Drop them off 90 minutes before the game and pick them up 60 minutes after the game. While you're cheering on the Huskers, the kids can enjoy the fun activities involving science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, all centered around the theme of football and getting active. It's affordable, convenient, and just steps away from Memorial Stadium. If interested, you must register your child or children prior to game day online at LincolnChildrensMuseum.org. That's pretty cool.
That's huge, dude.
I know about four adults. We got to check the age range.
5 to 12.
Oh, Nick doesn't have an ID. I would take Nick down there. I'd get a little. Well, first of all, Rico would pass for that. And a couple other ones I won't answer. That could just drop them off at the Children's Museum.
Hang out here. Can't trust you to be on your best behavior at the stadium. Don't want to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out the great people at Lincoln Children's.
Yeah,
that is I will say the Orman family has become a big, big fan of the Children's Museum. I remember going there a few times as a kid. Walked past it all the time when I was down at the J school. But little man loves the Children's Museum. There's all sorts of fun stuff you mentioned going on down there, even just on regular days.
Yeah.
Let alone football game days.
It's a pretty cool idea. Very thoughtful, and then obviously very affordable, but you know, still could, you know, you got the Husker theme with it. I think it's great because, you know, it's allowing the parents or the adults to go enjoy the game, and you know, you can go tailgate, you can enjoy the win, you can post tailgate, and make sure you get some waters and food in you, and you get to you know, pick your kids up, and they're able to get a little education. In a fun way, fellowship, and then obviously learn a little bit. And then also I think it could, you know, increase the attractiveness of the Children's Museum, which, like you said, and I've been down there a few times, it is a great place, and, you know, I enjoyed going down there as well. So appreciate their support, and obviously we strongly encourage everybody to go down there and drop their child or children down there. So appreciate you guys listening. Whiteboard Wednesday will be up. One of the best ones of PTSD, but then also from Bill Belichick. A little Husker talk, a little NFL talk, and definitely some NBA talk. Moving money. Money is moving. For my man, Austin Orman, I'm Jay Foreman. We're old school. We'll holler at you tomorrow.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.